Well, my brain inevitably makes more links between ideas that I was not able to do when using my very separate digital tools. The other great thing is that you start fresh each day. With digital trackers, you step onto their track. Somewhere in the middle of the endless race that started when you set up the tracker and ends, your notebook greets you each morning with the pure blank slate of an empty page. It serves as a small reminder that the day is as yet unwritten. It will become what you make of it. As bullet journalist Kevin D. notes, I used to feel bad about items undone at the end of the day. But with the bullet journal, I feel empowered to move yesterday's open bullets forward to a new page because I see each day as a fresh start. Finally, your notebook evolves as you do. You might say that you co-iterate. It will conform to your ever-changing needs. The lovely side effect is that as the years pass, you're creating a record of your choices and the ensuing experiences. As bullet journalist Kim Alvarez once put it, each bullet journal contributes another volume to a library of your life. In the pursuit of meaning, this library becomes a powerful resource to have at your disposal. By recording our lives, we're simultaneously creating a rich archive of our choices and our actions for future reference. We can study our mistakes and learn from them. It's equally instructive to note our successes, our breakthroughs. When something works professionally or personally, it helps to know what our circumstances were at the time and what choices we made. Studying our failures and our victories can provide tremendous insight, guidance, and motivation as we plot our way forward. So are the bullet journal method and apps mutually exclusive? Of course not. There are many apps that make my life easier in ways that a notebook never could. All tools, whether digital or analog, are only as valuable as their ability to help you accomplish the task at hand. The goal of this audio program is to introduce you to a new toolkit for your workshop, one that has proven effective at helping countless others tackle the often ungainly project called life. Handwriting. The palest ink is better than the best memory. Chinese proverb. We breathe life into our thoughts by committing them to paper. Be they words, images, or notes, few tools facilitate the transition between the inner and outer worlds as seamlessly as the tip of a pen. In a world moving towards untextured interfaces, it may seem like an awkward step backward to implement a methodology that requires you to write things out the old-fashioned way. But a growing body of research points to the continued practicality of the handwritten word in our digital age. A University of Washington study demonstrated that elementary school students who wrote essays by hand were far more likely to write in fully formed sentences and learn how to read faster. Much of this is due to how handwriting accelerates and deepens our ability to form and therefore recognize characters. The complex tactile movement of writing by hand stimulates our mind more effectively than typing. It activates multiple regions of the brain simultaneously, thereby imprinting what we learn on a deeper level. As a result, we retain information longer than we would by tapping it into an app. In one study, college students who were asked to take lecture notes by hand tested better on average than those who had typed out their notes. They were also able to better retain this information long after the exam. When we put pen to paper, we're not just turning on the lights, we're also turning up the heat. Writing by hand helps us think and feel simultaneously. These studies and many like them indicate that the benefits of writing by hand stem from the very complaint consistently leveraged against it, inefficiency. That's right. The fact that it takes longer to write things out by hand gives handwriting its cognitive edge. It's pretty much impossible to hand transcribe lectures or meetings verbatim. When we write by hand, we're forced to be more economical and strategic with our use of language, crafting notes in our own words. To do that, we have to listen more closely, think about the information, and essentially distill others' words and thoughts through our own neurological filtration system and onto the page. Typing notes, in contrast, can quickly become rote, a frictionless highway where information freely passes in one ear and right out the other. Why is it so important to craft notes in your own words? The science suggests that writing by hand enhances the way we engage with information, strengthening our associative thinking. It allows us to form new connections that can yield unconventional solutions and insights. We're simultaneously expanding our awareness and deepening our understanding. How we synthesize our experiences shapes the way we perceive and interact with the world. This is why journaling has proven to be a powerful therapeutic tool in treating people who suffer from trauma or mental illness. Expressive writing, for example, helps us process painful experiences by externalizing them through long-form journaling. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, uses scripts to treat people obsessing over intrusive thoughts. A distressing thought is detailed in a short paragraph. The script is then written over and over again until the thought begins to lose its death grip on the person's mind, granting some much-needed perspective and distance, something we all struggle to find when dealing with challenging situations. Toward our latter days, writing can help preserve our most cherished memories. Studies suggest that the act of writing keeps our minds sharper for longer. I've received many emails over the years praising Bullet Journal for helping those with poor memories stay organized, regardless of age. For instance, Bridget Bradley, a 51-year-old Bullet Journalist, now remembers what the weather was like 3 months ago, how many times I went to the gym last month, that I have made a reservation, by email, for that restaurant table, that I'm going on holiday in July, and that I have already worked out what I need to take with me 6 months in advance, so that I have time to buy and prepare for it. Similarly, I've heard from numerous people who found that bullet journaling helped their memory improve after being compromised by trauma or medical procedures. A dear friend of mine once told me, the long way is the short way. In a cut-and-paste world that celebrates speed, we often mistake convenience for efficiency. When we take shortcuts, we forfeit opportunities to slow down and think. Writing by hand, as nostalgic and antiquated as it may seem, allows us to reclaim that opportunity. As we craft our letters, we automatically start filtering the signal from the noise. True efficiency is not about speed. It's about spending more time with what truly matters. In the end, that's what the bullet journal method is all about. Part 2, the system. Your bullet journal can be your to-do list, journal, planner, sketchbook, or all of the above, all in one place. This flexibility stems from its modular structure. An easy way to conceptualize the system is to imagine the pieces of a Lego set. Each piece of the bullet journal system serves a specific function, be it ordering your day, planning your month, or tackling a goal. You're free to mix and match the pieces to customize the system to meet your needs. As those needs inevitably change over time, this flexibility allows the system to adapt and remain relevant through the different seasons of your life. As you evolve, so will the function and structure of your bullet journal. In this part of the audio program, we'll examine the core building blocks that lay the foundation of the system. You'll learn how they work, why they work, and how they snap into the larger framework. If you're following along in sequence, here's where you'll learn how to set up your bullet journal and migrate the content from your mental inventory. If you're an old hand at this, part 2 aims to take your bujojitsu to the next level. We'll delve into the tools and techniques you've been using and explore the reasoning behind their design. This section functions both as a reference and as a guide to help you answer any questions that may have bubbled up during your time bullet journaling. If you're new to the bullet journal, I suggest listening to all the chapters in this part before setting pen to paper. Each method and technique is effective on its own, but the true power of the bullet journal is found in the sum of its parts. To get the most out of your bujo experience, it's important to understand how these parts interact and influence each other. This part will walk you through each step, how it works, and how to set up your own bullet journal step by step. Before we dive in, most of the organizational methods people tried to shove down my throat didn't make sense, felt impractical, and left me feeling frustrated and or demoralized. Those are the last things I want you to feel. I've done my best to avoid making this part sound like stereo instructions, but it's unavoidably technical. At first glance, it may look like there are a lot of moving parts. As you listen through the following chapters, I invite you to consider each component individually. Hold it up to the light, examine it, ask yourself, would this help me? If at some point you feel overwhelmed, take a step back and start by implementing only the pieces that make sense. Most components are self-contained by design, so you can effectively use them even if you don't use the rest. Start with what speaks to you, even if it's just one piece, and build from there. This is also the way the bullet journal was born, one workable piece at a time. Collections, the modular building blocks of the bullet journal, used to store related content. The core collections are the index, future log, monthly log, and daily log, but you can create one for anything you want to keep track of. Index, used to locate your content in your bullet journal using topics and page numbers. Future log, used to store future tasks and events that fall outside the current month. Monthly log, provides an overview of time and tasks for the current month, also functions as your monthly mental inventory. Daily log, serves as your catch-all for rapid logging your thoughts throughout each day. Rapid logging, using short-form notation paired with symbols to quickly capture, categorize, and prioritize your thoughts into notes, events, and tasks. Migration, the monthly process of filtering out meaningless content from your notebook. Rapid logging. Quick, what was the last meaningful thing someone said to you? Okay, let's try an easier category. What did you eat for lunch 2 days ago? If you're drawing a blank, you're not alone. It goes to show that we can't rely on our memory to accurately capture our experience. Our experiences, both sweet and sour, are lessons. We honor these lessons by writing them down so we can study them and see what they have to teach us. This is how we learn. This is how we grow. If we forfeit the opportunity to learn from our experiences, as the saying sort of goes, we condemn ourselves to repeat our mistakes. Journaling provides a powerful way of facilitating this path of self-learning. The problem with traditional journaling is that it is loosely structured and time-intensive. Rapid logging leverages the best aspects of journaling by stripping away everything that's not essential. It's the language the bullet journal is written in. In short, rapid logging helps us capture and organize our thoughts as living lists. Rapid logging will help you efficiently capture your life as it happens so that you may begin to study it. In the included bonus PDF, you'll find visual examples illustrating the difference between content captured in a more traditional way and the same information organized with rapid logging. It's easy to see how succinct and clear rapid logging is. The streamlined approach to recording our thoughts saves a lot of time, allowing it to easily fit into our busy lives. As bullet journalist Ray Cheshire describes, "I'm a high school science teacher at a big inner city school in the UK. Things can get a little hectic at times as we try to cram even more stuff into our days. This is where rapid logging comes in. For example, we were told that an inspection was going to happen at very short notice, but thanks to bullet journaling, I quickly knew what I still had to do before the inspectors arrived." Be it at home, school, or the workplace, rapid logging will help you organize the dizzying array of things you have to contend with on a daily basis. We'll break down the symbols and structure in detail later, but it's easy to see how succinct and clear rapid logging is. It requires 60% less content in this example than a traditionally journaled page. Topics and pagination. The first step in rapid logging is to frame the content you're about to log. You do this by giving your page a topic name. It can be as simple as shopping list. Even here, as with most things Bujo, there's more than meets the eye. Topics actually serve three functions. 1, they identify and describe content. 2, they serve as an opportunity for you to clarify your intention. 3, they set the agenda for the content. How many meetings have you sat through that have little to no agenda? Generally, they're not very productive. Pausing to define the agenda before you start allows you to focus, prioritize, and use your time far more effectively. Giving your page its topic provides that opportunity to pause. What will you capture in this space? What's its purpose? What value will it add to your life? These may seem like superfluous considerations, but I can't tell you how many times I've sat down to make yet another list, only to realize that it simply wouldn't add anything meaningful to my life. Does tracking the TV shows I've watched this year add any real value? No. I can reinvest that time I saved into something that does. Other times that pause has helped me refine my aims, keeping the content of my bullet journal focused and relevant. Topic by topic, pause by pause, we're honing our ability to focus on what matters. Often all it takes to live intentionally is to pause before you proceed. Lastly, a good topic turns your bullet journal into a more useful reference. Who knows when you may need to look back through your journal to find a specific topic? October 13th, meeting 4 notes, says little, whereas October 13th, Thursday, Acme Co., website relaunch, user feedback provides you with a useful description. Once you've defined your topic, write it at the top of the page. Now you've laid the foundation for what you want to build. But you can't locate a building without its address. That address in your bullet journal is the page number, so be sure to add them as you go. Page numbers will be critical when we get to indexing. Spoiler alert, your index helps you quickly locate your content. The only time we don't use a descriptive topic is for our daily log. It's a catch-all for our thoughts, so the daily topic is simply the date, formatted as month, date, day. This will help you quickly orient yourself when flipping through your pages. All this is more complicated to explain than it is to do. In practice, you're just taking a few seconds to think before putting pen to paper. Now, with the topic and page number in place, your page is prepared to handle anything you throw at it. Please see the PDF showing you topics and page numbers. Bullets. If rapid logging is the language the bullet journal is written in, bullets are the syntax. Once you set up your topic and page number, you capture your thoughts as short, objective sentences known as bullets. Each bullet is paired with a specific symbol to categorize your entry. We use bullets not only because it takes less time, but also because wrestling information into short sentences forces us to distill what's most valuable. Crafting effective bullets requires striking a balance between brevity and clarity. If an entry is too short, we may not be able to decipher it later. If it's too long, then writing down your thoughts becomes a chore. For example, return call ASAP is too short. Who are you calling back? What are you calling them back about? It's easy to forget all that in the rush of the day. Conversely, call John M. back as soon as you can because he needs to know when you will have the sales figures for June ready for him is an overly informative word salad. Let's try again. Call John M. re June sales figures. You're saying exactly the same thing using only a quarter of the words. In a bit, I'll also show you how to turn that task into a priority using signifiers. Keeping your entries short without losing meaning takes practice, but over time, it hones our ability to identify what's worth writing down. That's important because our lives are infinitely complex, and there's potentially a lot to keep track of. If you've kept lists in the past, you're familiar with how quickly they can spiral out of control. They often lack context and priority. Rapid logging solves this issue in a few ways. First, by categorizing entries into 1, things that you need to do, or tasks, 2, your experiences, or events, 3, information you don't want to forget, or notes, tasks, events, and notes. Each category is assigned a symbol to upgrade a basic list with much-needed additional layers of context and function. During the day, these symbols allow you to quickly capture and contextualize your thoughts in real time. Later on, they make locating specific content much easier as you can scan through your pages. Let's take a look at each category and see how this syntax can keep your entries organized, lean, and effective. Tasks. The task bullet does a lot of heavy lifting. Think of it as a checkbox. Older versions of the bullet journal used an actual checkbox, but eventually it became clear that checkboxes weren't as efficient as the dot bullet. They take more time to draw and can look sloppy, decreasing legibility. The task dot bullet is fast, clean, and flexible. It can easily be transformed into other shapes, which is important because tasks can have five different states that are an open task, represented by a simple dot, which are entries that require you to take action, a completed task, which is that dot X'd out, which is an action that has been completed, a migrated task, which is a dot with a right arrow through it, which are tasks that have been moved forward, hence the right arrow, into your next monthly log or into a specific collection. Scheduled tasks, represented by a dot with a left arrow, which is a task tied to a date that falls outside the current month and is therefore moved backwards, hence the left arrow, into the future log at the front of your book. And finally, we have irrelevant tasks, which are represented by a strike through. Sometimes the things we task ourselves with end up not mattering anymore. Their meaning simply expires or circumstances change. If it no longer matters, then it's a distraction. Strike it off your list. One less thing to worry about. Subtasks and master tasks. Some tasks require multiple steps to complete. These dependencies, or subtasks, can be listed simply by indenting them directly below their master task. Master tasks can only be marked as complete once all of the subtasks have also been completed or marked as irrelevant. Tip: when you notice a master task spawning a lot of subtasks, it can indicate that this task is growing into a project. If that's the case, you may want to turn this nested list into its own collection. Planning a trip, for example, can be complex, with tasks ranging from researching locations to arranging transportation, each of which might have subtasks: check out X, Y, and Z hotels online, price flights, and rent a car. If you notice that a task is turning into a project, but you don't have time at the moment to set up a new collection, just log a task to remind you to set one up later. For example, add the task, create Hawaii vacation collection. This is a perfect example of how bullets can serve as mental anchors. To see tasks in action, please refer to the PDF. Writing down tasks serves a dual purpose. First, having a record of an open task makes it easier to remember even when you're away from your journal, partly due to a phenomenon known as the Zeigarnik effect. Russian psychiatrist and psychologist Bluma Zeigarnik observed that the staff at her local restaurant was able to remember complex, unfilled orders until they were filled, at which point they forgot the details. The friction of an unfinished task actively engages your mind. Second, by logging tasks and their state, you also automatically create an archive of your actions. This becomes immensely valuable during reflection. When you review your notebook days, months, or years from now, you'll always know what you were working toward. Events. Events, represented by the open circle bullet, are experience-related entries that can either be scheduled preemptively, for example, Charlie's birthday party, or logged after they occur, for example, sign the lease, yay. Event entries, no matter how personal or emotionally taxing, should remain as objective and brief as possible. The event, movie night, bears no more or less weight than he dumped me. Not having to articulate the complexity of an experience makes it much more likely for us to write it down. That's the most important part, to have a record. After a painful event, trying to explain how you feel in the moment can be exceptionally challenging, if not outright impossible. A joyful event can bring complex feelings too, everything from gratitude to triumph to tears because a special loved one wasn't there to share it. In both cases, they can be overwhelming and distracting. Event bullets allow you to put a pin in an experience to temporarily offload it from your mind so you can refocus on other priorities. This way you have a record safely stored in your journal, ready for you to revisit whenever you have more time, perspective, or wherewithal to sort out your emotional bureaucracy. To see event bullets in action, please refer to the bonus PDF. Take, for example, Michael S., who met a woman who he was quite taken with. It was only a few months into the relationship, and everything seemed to indicate a strong bond and a bright future. One day, she invited him to dinner. Sitting there, he could tell that something was off, so he asked her what was going on. She told him that she no longer wanted to see him. Blindsided, he asked why. She didn't know, but it was over. Michael was left tormented by the confusing loss of something he believed to be potentially rare and special. A few weeks later, he picked up his bullet journal, which held the full record of their relationship, and leafed through their history one page at a time. He was shocked to discover that at no point during the rather brief relationship had things been nearly as good as he remembered. Entry after entry painted a picture of a rather distant person who was never particularly kind to him. The reality of the situation, penned in his own words, provided the perspective he needed to move on. It was an important moment of clarity that enabled this bullet journalist to gain valuable insight that would not have been available to him otherwise. This is just one example of how having an objective account of your experience can be a powerful tool in helping you move through life. Bujo is not all about highlighting the doom and gloom, though. It can make you mindful of positives, too. We may finish our year feeling that not much of note really happened. Maybe we didn't take that big Hawaii trip or get the promotion we hoped for. Or maybe we thought we'd be further along in our apartment hunt than we are. We're all programmed with a negativity bias. Leafing through our bullet journal can help correct this perspective. There were celebrations, projects completed, fitness milestones achieved, clean bills of health conferred, children and pets doing adorable things, soulful talks with friends, kids, parents, or spouses, and on and on. Our memories are unreliable. We often trick ourselves into believing things about our experiences that are biased and inaccurate. Studies suggest that our recollection of how we felt can greatly differ from the way an experience actually made us feel. We can remember wonderful events in a negative way, and negative events in a positive way. Harvard psychologist Dan Gilbert likens our memories to painted portraits instead of photographs, where our mind artistically interprets memory. It's important to keep an accurate record of how things actually happened because we often make decisions based on our past experiences. If we operate entirely on memory, we're apt to repeat our mistakes by fooling ourselves into believing that something had an effect it actually did not. Good or bad, big or small, jot it down. Over the days, months, and years, they will form a pretty accurate roadmap of your life. Understanding how we got to where we are today will allow us to make more informed decisions as we plot our course forward. Tip: I recommend unpacking experiences as soon as possible after the event, so the details are fresh and accurate. The daily reflection works well toward this end. Tip: events that need to be scheduled on specific dates that fall outside of the current month are added to the future log, like birthdays, meetings, and dinners. Tip: for those of you who enjoy writing, long-form or expressive journaling, you can nest note bullets under an event bullet if there are important or interesting details that you want to capture about an experience for later use. Again, keep it brief. For example, for the event, date with Sam at El Pastor, I added a couple notes. She was 15 minutes late, didn't text, didn't apologize. Another note, made fun of the fact that I dressed up for the date. Another note, she ordered a lot and didn't eat much, didn't offer to pay. Another note, the guac was incredible. These quick notes added important details to a specific event. Notes. Represented with the dash, notes include facts, ideas, thoughts, and observations. They log information you want to remember that isn't immediately or necessarily actionable. This type of bullet works well for meetings, lectures, and classrooms. We all know what notes are, so I won't belabor the point. That said, few of us are ever taught how to take them. Let's delve into the tips, tricks, and benefits of taking notes the bullet journal way. By keeping your notes short, you're forced to distill information down to the essential. The more content you try to capture during a lecture or a meeting, the less you're thinking about what's being said. you burn through most of your attention parroting the source. Being both strategic and economical with your word choices forces you to engage your mind. By asking yourself what's important and why, you go from passively listening to actively hearing what's being said. It's when we begin to hear that information can transform into understanding. A main focus of bullet journaling is to get better at hearing the world around us as well as the one within, so we can begin to understand. More of that in part 3. To see notes in action, please reference the bonus PDF. Let it sink in. Don't immediately bail when the meeting, class, or lecture is over. Information is contextual. When you're being exposed to new information, the story unfolds one piece at a time. It's not until the end that you'll see how the pieces fit together. Once the event is over, take a few moments and use the time to your advantage. Sit for a while and give yourself a moment to process what you heard. Capture whatever surfaces. Often you'll gain new insight when you can better contextualize the information as a whole. Take a step back, review your notes, see what else bubbles up, and write it down. This is a great opportunity to fill gaps in your understanding or highlight them. Having a list of questions can help your next interaction be far more targeted and productive. Curiosity is also a strong source of motivation, which can help facilitate proactive engagement with the content. If you really want to know something, you'll find out. Make it yours. Whenever possible, try to latch onto information that you can relate to, that genuinely interests you. Here's one example of how you can apply all of these tips. Source. Some groups of animals enjoy unusual colloquial names. A group of flamingos is called a flamboyance of flamingos. A group of crows is known as a murder of crows. A group of pugs is known as a grumble of pugs. Ineffective note. Some animal groups have names. Effective note. A group of pugs is called a grumble, a murder of crows. Although the first note is succinct, if you read it weeks from now, you might be confused, thinking that the note referred to mammals, reptiles, or lagomorphs. The second bullet, on the other hand, binds the information to something you care about, in this case pugs. If you don't like pugs, you heartless monster, then maybe crows would be better, and helps you extrapolate a lot more information. If groups of pugs and crows have unusual names, then it stands to reason that other groups of animals may as well. This succinct yet specific note might trigger additional recollections about the topic. You might even set up a task to look up more information. One simple way to summarize all these tips is this. Keep your future self in mind. Your notes will be useless if they can't be deciphered in a week, month, or year from now. Do your future self a kindness and don't sacrifice clarity for brevity. It will keep your bullet journal valuable for years to come. Signifiers and custom bullets. The task, event, and note bullets will serve you well in most situations. That said, everyone's needs are different. One size does not fit all. This is a core tenet of bullet journaling. This is why you're encouraged to customize the system once you're comfortable with the basics. We'll fully explore how to do this in part 4, but for now, I'd like to give you a glimpse into fine-tuning your bullet journal to suit your needs through signifiers and custom bullets. Signifiers. Another way that rapid logging improves on the functionality of lists is through the use of signifiers. These are symbols used to highlight specific entries to give them additional context. Signifiers are placed in front of bullets so they stick out from the rest of your list, making them easy for the scanning eye to locate. Here are some examples of signifiers that I've found to be helpful. Priority, represented by the asterisk, used to mark a bullet as important and is most commonly paired with the task bullet. Use this sparingly. If everything's a priority, nothing is. Inspiration, represented by the exclamation point, most commonly paired with a note, Great ideas, personal mantras, and genius insights will never be misplaced again. Custom bullets. Custom bullets help you quickly capture entries that are unique to your situation. For example, people who delegate a lot of tasks can add another state to the task bullet by turning it into a forward slash, indicating that it was assigned to someone else. For example, forward slash through the task bullet, presentation, Kevin B. pulling numbers. When Kevin pulls the numbers, you can then just turn the forward slash into an X to mark it as complete. Custom bullets are the way to go when you have recurring tasks or events, like football practice. Football practice might be an H because it looks like a goalpost. You can quickly add this bullet to the calendar page in your monthly log, so you can see when practice is at a glance. Feel free to use letters instead of icons if they help you remember. Tip: keep custom bullets and signifiers to an absolute minimum. Rapid logging tries to remove as much friction as possible from capturing information. The more you invent, the more complex it is, and the slower you will become. Rapid logging summary. Now we've walked through all the steps of rapid logging, a quick and effective way to capture and sort your thoughts into tasks, events, and notes. You contain those thoughts with a topic to help you set your intention and a page number to easily locate it again later. Rapid logging is designed to help you contend with the daily grind. It will allow you to offload all the information you're bombarded with and emerge from a chaotic day with a clear, categorized list of prioritized thought. Collections. Hashtag bullet journal collection. No matter how organized you try to be, life is messy and often wildly unpredictable. The bullet journal embraces the chaos by not trying to fight it. It trades in the linear structure of traditional planners for a modular approach. Like a Lego set, Bujo is comprised of modular blocks. Each module is a template designed to organize and collect related information. That's why we refer to them as collections. Collections are interchangeable, reusable, and customizable. Maybe last month you created a shopping list, organized a trip, and prepared for a presentation. This month, however, you may need to create a fertility tracker, set up a party, and plan your meals. Whatever information you need to organize, there's a collection for that. If you can't find one, you're encouraged to invent one of your own. More of that in part 4. The portfolio of collections, also known as your stack, that you choose to use is entirely up to you, and it will change over time. This makes the bullet journal incredibly flexible and allows it to continuously adapt to a wide variety of uses. This is also why the bullet journals you see online don't look similar to one another. Each bullet journal reflects the unique needs of its user at that moment in time. In the following chapters, you'll learn about the 4 core collections: the daily log, the monthly log, the future log, and the one collection to rule them all, the index. These will serve as the foundational structure for your notebook. Let's take a closer look at each, see how they relate to one another, and explore how they can help order your chaos one piece at a time. The daily log. Hashtag bullet journal daily log. The daily log is the workhorse of your bullet journal. Its streamlined template is designed to capture your daily deluge in real time. When you're in the thick of it, you can rely on your daily log to keep your thoughts organized with very little effort so you can focus on the task at hand. To set up your daily log, all you have to do is add the day's date and the page number. That's it. With your container in place, you're all set to rapid log your tasks, events, and notes as they occur throughout the day. The idea is to be consistently unburdening your mind. You'll be able to rest assured knowing that everything is safely recorded in your notebook. Your daily log is more than a simple to-do list. Yes, it serves to capture your responsibilities, but it also helps you document your experiences. It's a safe place where your mind is free to express itself, judgment-free, and always happy to welcome your thoughts as they bubble up throughout the day. Over time, those thoughts become a record of your state of being, which becomes incredibly valuable when we get into reflection. It provides the context we often lack in our daily lives, With context, we can be more deliberate with our actions. To see an example of the daily log, please refer to the bonus PDF. I've tried my hand at nearly every organizational system available. None of them stuck because they required me to invest a great deal of money or time to master their technique. I started Bujo with a 25-cent notebook and a mechanical pencil. I find Bujo is less concerned with structure than it is with intention. I add activities and tasks to my daily log as the day unfolds. The day becomes more about flow, with the bullet journal as both monitor and log. Kevin D. On space. A common question I get is how much space the daily log requires. My answer? As much space as the day needs. And that's something you just can't know in advance. Some daily logs can span many pages, while others won't take up half a page. It's nearly impossible to tell how your day may unfold. Though it can be helpful to set an intention for your day, like, today I will not complain, it's important to remember not to set an expectation for your day, because that's out of your control. If our lives are oceans, then our days are waves, some big, some small. Your bullet journal is the shore, and it will be carved by both. If you don't fill a page, add the next date wherever you left off and you're good to go. You should never feel like you're running out of room. This is why I advise against setting up your daily logs way ahead of time. Either create them the day of or the night before. Once you get rolling with Bujo, your daily log may start to feel less like the stress-inducing to-do lists you may be accustomed to, and more like a record and a reminder to live according to your intentions, one day at a time. The monthly log. Hashtag bullet journal monthly log. This collection helps you step back and take a breath before diving into the coming month. It offers a bird's eye view of the things that you have to do, as well as your available time. If each bullet journal is another volume in the story of your life, then the monthly log marks a new chapter. They're small but significant milestones punctuating the year. Setting them up allows us to regularly check in with ourselves so that we can maintain, slash regain, context, motivation, and focus. The monthly log is set up on a spread of facing pages. The left page will be your calendar page. The right page will be your tasks page. The topic of this collection is the name of the month, and we add it to both pages of the spread. To follow along, please see the monthly log visual example included in the bonus PDF. Calendar page. On the calendar page, list the dates of that month down the left edge of the page, followed by the first letter of the corresponding day of the week. Remember to leave some room in the left margin so you can add signifiers later if needed. Signifiers will allow you to quickly scan your calendar page to find anything particularly noteworthy. Feel free to use this page like a traditional calendar, by slotting in your events and tasks ahead of time. That said, nothing is set in stone, so I prefer to log events only after they happen. That way, the monthly log's calendar page acts like a timeline. This timeline is something your future self will often be grateful for, as it can provide a lot of clarity and context. It shows you exactly what you focused on in a given month by highlighting precisely when it actually happened. Tip: keep your entries as short as possible, as the monthly log is designed for reference only. Tasks page, or mental inventory. The task page of your monthly log will serve as your ongoing mental inventory page. Give yourself permission to sit for as long as it takes to offload the action items that have been swimming around in your mind. What matters this month? What are the priorities? When you're done capturing your thoughts, go through the previous month and see what tasks remain open. Transfer any important items into the new monthly log's task page. We'll delve deeper into this process in the chapter on migration, but for now, just know this is how tasks don't slip through the cracks when you bullet journal. We rewrite things until we get them done, or they become irrelevant. The future log. Hashtag bullet journal future log. The bullet journal unfolds organically based on what you need in the here and now, so you may be wondering how you can plan for the future. For this, we use a collection known as the future log. The future log stores entries that have specific dates that fall outside the current month. So if it's September, and you've got a project with a deadline of, say, December 15th, swoops, into the future log it goes. The future log lives at the front of your bullet journal, right after your index. It usually requires 1 to 2 spreads of facing pages and can be designed in many different ways. I've included a lean yet effective 3-month example in the bonus PDF. So how does this work in practice? During the day, just continue to write everything down in your daily log, even future tasks. Again, the daily log is there to prevent us from having to waste time thinking about where to write things down. It's a catch-all, designed to hold our thoughts until we're ready to sort them out. When that time comes, like during your daily reflection, you'll transfer any bullets with a future date from your daily log into your future log. Once you do, be sure to mark the entry as scheduled with a left arrow in your daily log. This way you'll know that it's been addressed, so you can temporarily offload it from your mind. Think of the future log as a queue, each item eagerly waiting for its month to arrive. When you're setting up a new monthly log, be sure to scan your future log for any items in the queue that are ready now. If so, migrate those items from your future log into your monthly log's tasks page. Be sure to mark it as migrated in your future log. To see the future log in action and examples of how a future log cycle works, please see the bonus PDF. Once you get the hang of it, it becomes an effective way of keeping you aware of the responsibilities you're putting into your life. Your future log functions as a time machine that reveals the outline of the future you're building so you can course correct if necessary. The index. Hashtag bullet journal index. I've always kept a work journal where I entered telephone conversations, meeting notes, and other details of my workday chronologically. I also had a gazillion to-do lists and sticky notes, a paper calendar on my desk, and, eventually, an electronic calendar on my phone. Whenever I needed to retrieve any notes from my work journal, I'd first have to hunt in my calendars for the date of the meeting or phone call, or guess at when it might have happened. Then I'd have to flip through my journals to find the date I was looking for. The bullet journal system was an awesome refinement to my chronological system. All I do now is go to my index, where I've written the page number of what I'm seeking, and then flip right to it. Cheryl S. Bridges. Your bullet journal notebook welcomes any part of you that you're willing to share. One moment you're planning your week, the next you're sketching out a room layout or penning a poem. While getting lost in your notebook can be a lovely and liberating experience, losing things in your notebook decidedly is not. At this point in the audio program, you may be wondering how you will keep track of all these different collections. In the bullet journal, we solve this challenge with our index. The index provides an easy way to find your thoughts days, months, or years after entrusting them to your notebook. Part table of contents, part traditional index, the index lives on the very first pages of your notebook. You can think of the index as a container that stores all of your other collections, except for your daily log, for reasons I'll explain later. I recommend allocating 2 spreads, 4 facing pages, for your index. If you own the official bullet journal notebook, the index is already included. To add a collection to your index, simply write down the collection's topic and page numbers. As you'll see in the PDF, collections don't need to be consecutive. Life is unpredictable, and it often requires us to shift gears, to focus on new priorities. The index makes it easy to shift between priorities at will. If you want to resume using a previous collection, but you're out of pages in the original instance, simply flip to the next blank spread and continue the same topic. Then, all you need to do is add the page number of this new instance back to your index, as you can see in the example provided in the PDF. Dedicated index. Some bullet journals focus on very specific subject matter. If you're a student, it could be your current curriculum. If you're a project manager, it could be for keeping track of all the different parts of your project or projects. In these cases, you can use an alternate approach known as the dedicated index. It works much the same way as the standard index, except that each index page is dedicated to one subject only. So if you were taking classes in science, English, math, and history, you would set up an index page for each. For example, if you were taking a class in American history, one page in your index would have the topic American history. Each section of the course would define a master collection. and each subject within the section would be the subcollection. So for example, on the dedicated American History Index page, Revolutionary Wars would be a master collection. The Battle of Lexington, Battle of Fort Ticonderoga, Battle of Bunker Hill would all be subcollections within the Revolutionary War. Dedicated indexes are not limited to the classroom. Provided in the PDF is an example of how it could be used to launch a new company website. Threading. Though the index is an effective way to help you navigate your notebook, some of you may be thinking that there seems to be a lot of flipping about going on. There's a solution for this. Threading. This technique was brought to me by software engineer and Bullet Journal community member Carrie Barnett. It quickly found a permanent home in my own practice. I love it when that happens. Threading is used in code to point one piece of code toward a related piece of code. In the Bullet Journal, we use the same concept to point to previous or later instances of related content within our notebook. So let's say you have a collection, instance 1, that you started on pages 10 to 15. Time goes by and you have to shift your focus to other things. You use up pages in your notebook. When you want to resume your previous collection, you create another instance, instance 2, on pages 51 through 52. You shift gears again for a while, and then you continue the collection on pages 160 to 170, instance 3. To thread these instances together, all you have to do is add the page number of one instance next to the page numbers of the other instances. So if you're at the start of instance 2, you would write 10 next to page 51, threading back to instance 1, which is on pages 10 through 15. At the end of instance 2, next to page 52, you would write 160, threading forward to instance 3, which can be found on pages 160 through 170. Now you can quickly flip between instances without using your index. This sounds a lot more complicated than it really is. To see a visual example of threading, please see the bonus PDF. This technique has since been further expanded by community member Kim Alvarez to work with threading entire notebooks. If you wanted to continue a collection, say, books to read in a new notebook, but you don't want to copy everything over, you can thread it. If the first instance of the books to read collection is on page 34, in your second bullet journal, you would write 2.34 next to the page number in your new notebook's books to read collection. Here, the 2 indicates the volume number of your bullet journal, and 34 represents the page number of the collection in that volume. This notation also makes it easy for you to add threaded notebooks to your index. If you want to add content from a previous notebook to your new notebook, all you have to do is add it to your index like this. Books to read, 2.34, comma 13. Over time, your index will double as a table of context. It provides you with a bird's eye view of how you're investing your time and energy. It's a map of all the things you're saying yes to. Remember, for everything you say yes to, you're also saying no to something else. Yes means work. It means sacrifice. It means investing time into one thing that you can no longer invest into another. Use your index to help you stay focused on the things that are worthy of your yes. Migration. There's nothing quite so useless as doing with great efficiency something that should not be done at all. Peter Drucker. There are a lot of productivity systems that help us create lists, but few encourage us to re-engage with them. By hoarding tasks, our lists quickly become endless and unmanageable, leaving us feeling overwhelmed or demotivated. It's easy to forget that just because something could be done does not mean that it should be done. Productivity is about getting more done by working on fewer things. We need to be vigilant about regularly curating our commitments so we can focus our time and energy on the things that actually matter. In Bujo, migration helps us form this habit. During migration, we transfer content from one place in our bullet journal to another by rewriting it. This may seem like a lot of effort, but it serves a critical purpose. It weeds out distractions. because it takes a little bit more time to rewrite things by hand, there's a built-in incentive to pause and consider each candidate. If an entry isn't worth the few seconds of effort required to rewrite it, then it's probably not that important. Get rid of it. Do you really need to go to that event, run that errand, host that party, file that report? Sometimes you do, but oftentimes you don't. We pick up a lot of stowaways during the daily hustle. It's easier to just accept tasks than it is to carefully evaluate them in the moment. This is how empty responsibilities quickly accumulate, leeching your mental resources for as long as you let them. By rewriting your tasks, you have the opportunity to vet your responsibilities and throw the useless ones overboard. Simply put, migration keeps you from operating on autopilot, wasting tremendous amounts of time working on things that don't add value to your life. Monthly migration. The main migration happens at the end of every month, when you're ready to set up a new monthly log. In the last couple days of April, for example, you'd set up your new monthly log for May. Once that's done, slowly scan all the pages of your past month, reviewing the state of your tasks. Chances are you haven't completed them all. This is totally normal. Transform any guilt into curiosity by asking yourself why each task might still be incomplete. Does it matter? Is it vital? What would happen if you didn't do it? If you realize an incomplete task has become irrelevant, strike it out. Take a moment to enjoy the feeling of having reclaimed a portion of your time. Give yourself some credit. This is a win. All wins, no matter how small, should merit at least a moment of appreciation. If a task remains relevant, if it still adds value to your life, then migrate it. You can migrate an item in three different ways. 1. Transcribe the open task to the tasks page of your new monthly log. Then mark the old entry as migrated with the right arrow. 2. Transcribe the task into a custom collection. Then mark the old entry as migrated, also with the right arrow. 3. If the task is date specific and falls outside of the current month, migrate it into your future log. Then mark it as scheduled with the left arrow. To see monthly migration in action, please refer to the bonus PDF. Tip: when setting up your new monthly log, be sure to check your future log. Are any tasks or events queued up for the coming month? If so, migrate those entries from your future log into your new monthly log's tasks or calendar page. Tip: if you're new to bullet journaling, your first monthly migration can be a real light bulb moment. This is where it all begins to click. That's why I highly encourage new bullet journalists to stick with bullet journaling for at least 2 to 3 months when testing it out. Yearly/notebook migration. At the beginning of every year, no matter where you are in your current Bujo notebook, start a new one. This may seem wasteful, but christening a new journal at the right time can be very empowering and motivational. The new year is as good a time as any to set up a new notebook, because it's an unavoidable cultural milestone, both literally and metaphorically. It delineates the old from the new, what has been from what could be. Why not welcome this opportunity for a fresh start? It gives us an excuse to drop any useless baggage weighing us down, lightening our load for the new adventures to come. When you get to the end of a notebook or a year, review your index. Take stock of all the collections that you've accumulated. There you'll find a fairly accurate account of how you've been spending your time and energy. Now's the time to make the hard call. Do these collections and their open tasks get to accompany you into your next bullet journal? We honor the lessons we've learned by applying them to the next phase of our life. Big or small, migrate only the content and techniques that have proven themselves to be valuable, nothing else. A new notebook is not about starting over, it's about leveling up. Migrating notebooks is a benevolent reckoning, where you face your responsibilities to see what they've given you and what they've taken away. Take a hard look at your journal, because there you'll see your story unfolding, written in your own hand. Each bullet journal becomes another volume in the story of your life. Does it represent the life you want to live? If not, then leverage the lessons that you've learned to change the narrative in the next volume. tip. Weekly log. Hashtag bullet journal weekly log. Some bullet journalists